It happens to most moms and moms-to-be. Little bouts of forgetfulness that cloud our brains. We call it pregnancy brain or momnesia. It starts in pregnancy and continues even after you've given birth. So is pregnancy brain real? What's happening within the body to make us feel this way? And what are five great tips to help us overcome this obstacle and stay sharp-minded? I'm Dr. Jennifer Scheer, a clinical psychologist specializing in women's issues, and this is Preggy Pals.
Is that a plus sign?
Pink or blue?
Hospital or home birth?
What type of food should I be eating?
I think I just peed myself.
I'm pregnant and I have to exercise.
What pregnancy glow?
Wait, was that a contraction?
Gotta make these pants fit.
I've got kinkles.
What do you mean there's more than one?
You've got the symptoms and now you've got the support you need for a happy 9 months. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way. Welcome to Preggy Pals, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Preggy Pals is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for expecting parents and those hoping to become pregnant. I'm your host, Sunny Galt. Have you joined our Preggy Pals Club? Our members get all of our archived episodes, bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts. You'll also receive a free subscription to Pregnancy Magazine. Visit our website, PreggyPals.com, for more information. And we have less than 2 weeks until the Your Natural Baby Fair here in San Diego. We are broadcasting live from this event. So if you don't live in the area, you can watch it online. But if you do live in Southern California, you can purchase your tickets online at yournaturalbabyfair.com. Use our promo code MOMMEDIA for 15% off. So I am joined by a couple other mamas here in the studio. Let's go around and introduce ourselves. You guys know me. I'm Sunny. I am 35 years old. I'm really impressed that I actually just remembered my age. Obviously, I produce the show. I've got two little boys at home. Sayer, who is 2.5 years old, more like three, coming up on three, not too long from now. And I also have an 11-month at home as well. Both boys. Go ahead, Wendy.
My name is Wendy Garrido. I'm 30 years old, and I work with women to help them prepare emotionally and spiritually for pregnancy, childbirth, and parenting. I have my own 11-month-old baby girl named Shanti. She was born at home, which was a beautiful, sweet home birth.
Oh, I like that.
Followed by an emergency trip to the hospital for a retained placenta.
Did it ruin the moment, or was everything still good?
It kind of set us off by 24 hours. 24 hours later, we came home and picked up where I thought we would be the day before.
Yeah. So, but you had a good, you know, at least the first part, the actual delivering of the baby was a good experience.
Yeah. And she had the peaceful experience,
yeah, like that you wanted.
The trip to the hospital was all mine, so
right.
That was okay.
Okay. And our expert is Jennifer Scheer.
Hello.
Tell us about your little ones at home.
I have two boys, 7 years old and 2 years old.
Ah, nice. Okay, so we're in the boys' club and then Wendy's in the girls' club.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, before we start today's episode, Amy Saloner is joining us here in the studio. Amy is the co-founder of The Natural Baby Pro. She's also the director of the Your Natural Baby Fair, which is coming up here in San Diego at the end of the month. It's creeping up here really fast, isn't it, Amy?
It's coming pretty quickly.
Well, so we're really excited about this event. We've been involved for the last few years. And this year, New Mommy Media, which is the parent company of Preggy Pals, we have a booth at the fair. But in addition to that, we know many of our listeners aren't located here in San Diego. We know you want to come to the fair, but you just don't have the opportunity. So we're helping you out. We're going to be broadcasting live from the fair, and we're going to be talking to so many of the great speakers and the presenters that you would have a chance to listen to if you were actually at the fair. So it's a really great opportunity. We're super excited about it. But for Amy, people that are listening, maybe they've never heard of the Your Natural Baby Fair before. I know you started this. So tell us a little bit about what the fair is and why you started it.
Sunny, this was just a culmination of experience and conversations with many women who I met along the way in my journey as a parent, who really would say to me often, like, oh man, I just wish I knew that before I had my child, or I wish I knew that. And I just kept thinking, well, why not? Like, why wasn't there a place for people to go to find the support, the the education. And so it was really just a vision of mine to bring together many practitioners of all different kinds who have wonderful things to share about supporting families from fertility, pregnancy, birth, and baby care, and bringing them all together in a really fun and dynamic way. And the fair was born. It was really just a way to have really prominent speakers. Last year we had Ina Mae Gaskin.
I remember.
And yeah. This year we're excited to have Dr. Sears, the author of the vaccine book, and right. many others actually coming to speak. And just many, many speakers all day long, demonstrations on things like baby wearing and baby sign language and cloth diapering, tummy time.
Right.
So booths of all kinds of products and services. And it's not your usual, you know, trade show kind of fair with it. There's really more about the support, okay. the practitioners and the resources that really make life easier for families in their journey.
Well, let's talk about the beneficiary, because mm-hmm. each time you do the fair, there is a beneficiary. And this year, it's really important. We're getting the word out about vitamin D and the deficiency that so many women have. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Right. So Grassroots Health has a project called Protect Our Children Now, and it's really a study and an educational platform to really educate about what's happening for our moms and babies when we are deficient in vitamin D, and to really drive home the point that the more that we understand what our vitamin D levels are, and the more that we take control of our bodies in that way and our health, then we actually will bring forth easier labor, safer labors, and healthier babies along the way.
And this ties into the online auction, right?
It does. So because Natural Baby Pros is a global entity, we don't want to leave anybody out. So we have taken our auction live virtually. So you can find the link for the auction itself right on the YourNaturalBabyFair.com homepage. There's a button there that says Join Us in Supporting Grassroots Health. And right from there, it takes you to the auction page and you can peruse all the fabulous auctions that are there and learn a little bit more actually about Grassroots Health and the Protect Our Children Now campaign.
So if you are local to San Diego or you're going to be in the area, we have a special promo code to give out to all of our listeners, and that is Mom Media, MOMMEDIA. And that is for 15% off if you purchase your tickets online through YourNaturalBabyFair.com. So be sure to go and get your tickets right away. You certainly wouldn't want to miss the opportunity to be at this event. Of course, that is if you're local. If you're not local, please check out YourNaturalBabyFair.com on April 27th, the day of the fair. We're going to start broadcasting at 8:30 in the morning. We'll be broadcasting all day long up until 4 p.m. And like I said, you'll be able to see so many of the great things that are happening at the fair. Not quite like being at the fair, but again, if you're not in the area, it's the next best thing, and we're so happy to bring it to you. Amy, thank you so much for being here in the studio with us today, and thank you for putting on this fair and for helping families just like us.
Thank you.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Yeah. Today on Preggy Pals, we're talking about pregnancy brain. Are we really more forgetful when we're pregnant? And is there anything happening medically to support that? Or really, are we just going crazy? Psychologist Jennifer Scheer is a regular expert on our show. She is here to help us make sense of the issue. Welcome back, Jennifer.
Hello.
Okay, so what is pregnancy brain? We say pregnancy brain, momnesia. Are there other terms, Wendy, that you've heard about?
That covers it. Well, brain.
Mommy brain.
Brain fog. Mine was really foggy.
Okay. Yeah. So all these terms, we're talking about the same thing here.
Yes.
Jennifer, what is it?
Well, it's the experience of feeling like cognitively you're not as sharp. Lots of short-term memory lapses and forgetfulness.
What prompts it? Do we know what's happening within the body? Could there be multiple things?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely a combination.
Okay.
One, for sure, we all know, can't underestimate the surge of hormones during pregnancy. 15 to 40 times more estrogen and progesterone in the brain. That is clearly playing havoc with
mode.
Us. Yeah.
We actually, just a side note, we actually just released an episode about pregnancy hormones. So as we're talking about this, ladies,
great. If
something kind of strikes a chord, you want to know more about these hormones, a couple episodes ago. So go ahead. Continue.
Okay. So we've got the surging hormones with the combination of sleep deprivation and stress that goes along with it. But I think a huge, huge piece that we have to give more attention to is the shifting of priorities. So memory is so much based on what we're focusing our attention on. And during pregnancy, a woman's mind is absorbed and preoccupied with this changing role. So it's, you know, a lot of times there's not necessarily that your cognition is not as good as before, but you are focusing it on different concerns.
Okay, so case in point, my husband calls me from work and says, because I work from home, and he says, hey, let's make pizza tonight. Can you get the dough out of the refrigerator and, you know, kind of get it ready so, you know, we can cook it when we get home? But it's got to get out of the refrigerator. It's got to rise. It's got to do all the stuff. Sure, honey. So I hang up the phone, and if I don't do it right then, and this has happened, I meant to do it in a couple minutes, and then my kid calls me away, and this happens, and that happens, and suddenly my husband's home and wondering why the dough is still in the refrigerator. So I can't remember stuff like that, but you ask me, like, any song from Sesame Street, boom, I am on it. So I guess my frustration is that, you know, I'm not remembering the things I want to remember. It's like, I know there's stuff up in my brain, you know, and I don't necessarily think my brain has shrunk. I know, you know, if you Google this online, people are like, oh, shrinking brain and all this kind of stuff. So I don't really buy into that whole thing. But there's a lot more information than I'm having to reach for and filter through, I guess.
Absolutely. But you are absorbed in issues related to mothering and caretaking and children.
Yeah.
So there's like a tape running 24/7, even when you're sleeping, about these issues.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just not as much room to recall or access, you know, the dough in the refrigerator. It's just not as important. There is research that shows that the brain slightly and temporarily shrinks towards the end of pregnancy. But the research strongly shows that a few months after giving birth, the brain grows. And so the areas of the brain where you see increased activity are the areas that relate to the specific skill sets we need for caretaking.
Mm.
So, for example, the prefrontal cortex, the hypothalamus, the amygdala. Those are the three main areas that are positively impacted by giving birth. And those are the areas that are involved in motivation. So say the motivation to get up and be driven 15 times a night to take care of the baby.
Mm.
Reward behavior and emotional regulation. We then feel good every time we do engage in these behaviors. We feel happy. We feel empowered and good about ourselves. And then specifically time management, foresight and planning. So these are, you know, things we need in terms of anticipating child's needs, creatively finding new ways constantly to meet them, and doing it in a timely manner, all the efficiency and planning. And I do believe there's research that shows that women who have given birth and have children, that their learning and memory increases.
So it
the brain shrinks towards the end of pregnancy, mm-hmm. and then it gets bigger. But does it get bigger than what it started from?
It goes back to the size it was.
Okay.
However, the thought about it is that it's when it shrinks temporarily and not significantly, it's doing that in order to prime itself to reshape.
So when it reshapes, there's certain areas that have expanded, but the brain overall, is it about the same thing?
You're talking the difference between structure or the neuron connectivity.
Oh,
so
okay.
There's a whole bunch of things. But in terms of the mom stuff, I think what's most relevant is just to know, it goes in two directions. We know about plasticity and that, you know, our brains, we're always creating new connections from our direct experience and repeated experience about certain activities that we really focus on. And so that's one. So you can have moms or even dads or parents who haven't given birth who are caretaking. And if they are engaging in these behaviors consistently and with focused attention, you know, likely you're going to start seeing those areas of their brain have increased activity as well. You know, so people who have mastered certain, you know, domains or skills, you can see that. You see that happening, you know, all through life. But the other thing is that there is the research that shows that the process of giving birth from, you know, the inside does show larger areas of activity in those parts of the brain.
Interesting. Okay.
It makes sense to me that my brain is in a whole different mode. Having just had one baby, it was kind of like before one baby and after one baby. Mm-hmm. I don't have multiple kids yet, but I would never have even thought of going 3 or 6 or 9 months without getting a complete uninterrupted night of sleep and being okay. I mean, something has to go on in our brain to make that possible. And then when you mentioned dads, I realized my husband had sort of his own version of pregnancy brain, which was actually sleep deprivation, I think. But we really noticed in about 3 months, I'd say, that normally he knows. Like, if he gave me the keys, he remembers giving me the keys. And he would just forget things. And then he would not be able, like, he'd be on his phone and he couldn't switch gears to hear me. I would have to, like, say his name 10 times and practically, like, hit him to get him to pay attention. And I was getting really upset about it, and then I realized he might not have the stuff going on in his brain to make it as easy for him to be sleepless for 3 months as it was for me.
Right. Yeah. And then we talk about the hormones, like the oxytocin. You know, I mean, that's a natural, you know, a natural chemical that is helping us.
Right.
You know, and that's what helps us you know, mirror the infant's facial expressions and really enhances our empathy. So when we talk about, you know, moms, we have this instinctual, fierce reaction to our own baby's cries, and dads don't quite get it. So, like, the mom's like, did you hear that? That's a third cry! Do something!
Wait, you've been in my house. Okay, you know, makes sense now.
We're in different bodies.
Yeah.
But again, going back to experience, if you have a dad who is tuned in and repeats these behaviors with attention and you know, foresight and all that, you know, likely you're going to start getting, you know, more responses that are more similar.
Okay.
But again, we've got a head start.
Yeah, we do. That's true. I wish we could, like, somehow compartmentalize our brains like we do on our computer and be like, okay, folder for this, folder for that, draw from this first, draw from this. Sesame Street, not a priority. I mean, I wish we could somehow do that. Wendy, what's your experience with this here?
Well, I liked what Jennifer said about the change in priorities, because for me, it happened when I was 9 months pregnant and suddenly I woke up and I could not get brain to function. At the time, I was helping a guy edit and write his book, and it really required this meta level thinking to be able to track and put things in order and put together, and I would sit down and I just literally couldn't do it. And now that I have some context on it, I think there's this tendency to want to, like, push through and say, well, we should be able to do the same things that we can do even though we're pregnant. But it was somehow giving myself permission to sort of take it easy those last 2 weeks before I gave birth. Just, it was needed, and it wouldn't have I probably wouldn't have done it otherwise if I hadn't felt like I got knocked over the head and into this foggy mist where I couldn't do anything otherwise.
Now, do you note, I know that was when you were pregnant, so have you noticed a change since your baby being born? I mean,
it was really just that temporary phase, I think, for me.
Okay.
It hasn't
Wait till there's more.
Maybe.
Honestly, I even had it with one. I had it with one, too. So I don't know what's impacting us, you know, throughout pregnancy, but I feel like it rears its ugly head again, you know, with the more kids you pile on your plate. So for people that are listening to this that maybe haven't experienced this yet, maybe they're early in their pregnancies, what does pregnancy brain feel like? What did it feel like for you, Jennifer?
It felt like a thought. I'd have a thought, and it would disintegrate midair. So, you know, from the time I would have the idea to the time I would step up, take, you know, 3 feet forward to execute it, it was gone.
What about you, Wendy? What did it feel like?
I felt powerless. Like, yeah. I wanted to be able to do, just to do the things that I normally do. And I don't even know that it wasn't that my sentences were cut off partway through, but it was like I couldn't even get my brain to shift into a gear. It was stuck in first gear, and I wanted to be in fifth gear going 50 miles an hour, and it just wouldn't go.
Well, and so many times, as especially new parents, we need to be going 50 miles an hour, if not faster, to be able to keep up with what's happening in our life, and it is frustrating. I know, you know, for me, every day I've got a list of stuff that I want to get done, and so many times I find myself doing that whole thing where I walk into a room and I'm like, what was I doing in here, you know, just countless times of starting something and then just being like, I know this was important. Why was this important? And trying to retrace my steps. I find myself wasting a lot of time, you know?
When I was going through it and I was just needing something to help me out, we came across sunflower lecithin, and I guess that has choline in it that somehow, I started taking it and it totally cleared it up for me.
Really?
Yeah.
How quickly did that help?
Really fast, like the same day.
Really?
Yeah. And I there's obviously kind of different variations of this, and I'm only speaking from my own experience. But it was dramatically different.
Yeah.
There's also there's value and merit to this pregnancy brain issue, which is that, you know, we all know that becoming a mom is the fastest, sharpest learning curve there is. And if our brain, think about it, if it weren't kind of stopping us and grabbing us by the neck and saying, you know, stop editing the book and stop, you know, stop putting your mental energies there, I don't know that we would really be able to do the preparatory work emotionally and internally and cognitively to really be ready to meet the needs of the baby.
That's interesting. So it's kind of protecting us from ourselves a little bit. I feel like we're supposed to be super mom all the time. And maybe you're right. Maybe this is a way our bodies are saying, would you just cool it? I'm on overload. I'm creating a kid here. Can you lay off a little bit?
I've been reading a lot lately about the cycles of our body. Like, we have our monthly cycles. We're not made to be doing the exact same thing every day with the same level of intensity.
Right.
And I've been thinking about it in terms of even the seasons. Like, you can't get to spring if there isn't a winter. And somehow we think that, like, well, we could just be summer all the time and get through it without seeing the value of that downtime to sort of give us more energy so we can keep going.
Right. Good point. Okay, so can pregnancy brain be prevented? When we come back, Jennifer is going to give us 5 tips to help keep us on track. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Today we are learning about pregnancy brain, and psychologist Jennifer Scheer has 5 tips to help us prevent it. You're going to save all of us with these tips, right, Jennifer? I'm really looking forward to implementing these in my daily life. So let's start with the first one. What's the first tip you've got for us?
Well, the first thing is, I wouldn't say these are strategies to prevent it. I would say these are strategies to work with it.
Okay, but if we start these in advance, maybe we could prevent some of the things that happen, don't you think?
This would be good experiment, Sunny.
I know. Okay. I'm going to challenge you on that one. Okay.
Yes. I would say the first thing that comes to my mind is get things out of your mind onto the paper. You want to make it as concrete as possible. So writing everything down, creating master checklists that you can refer to.
Okay. So I have checklists on a daily basis. I think I do a fairly good job. I need checklists in general in order to get through my day. It keeps me focused. It's not like, you know, everything is assigned a time. You know, I'm not on a set schedule like that. But if I can say sometime before this day ends, if I can get, you know, these 4 things accomplished or whatever, that's important to me to feel like I've accomplished something during the day. So I've implemented this a little bit, but obviously I miss some stuff like the pizza. What do you
What do you think, Wendy?
It didn't make it to the checklist.
It didn't. And that's right. Because I said to myself, I'm going to do it right now. And you know that a month later when my husband called me and said, can you put the pizza, blah, 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 I went and did it right then because I knew, because I learned.
Yes.
But anyways, go ahead, Wendy.
I use the one on Gmail. Gmail has a little tasks button that I use that goes along with my calendar.
Okay. And so I have something similar with Apple Mail. Apple Mail does something similar to that,
too. It just kind of helps me keep priorities.
Right.
To be honest, I'm not sure that it was helpful at all during my pregnancy brain period, though. That was tough.
Yeah. Do you actually keep lists, Jennifer?
I do, but going on to like another strategy is I keep lists, and what I then learned was keeping the list wasn't necessarily the gold. It was that I had to keep my list in the same spot every single time.
So it's like, where's the list?
Yes, because I would then have 10 lists that I was repeating. So now I have specific places where I keep my master lists, and I have specific times in the day when I refer back to them. So the idea is that we create checklists,
yep.
And then also that we respect our organizational systems. So whether it's a checklist or whether it's important objects like keys, phone, wallet, that we're always, we create a home for it.
Yeah.
You know, and it always goes back to its home. And like you said, Sunny, it goes there immediately.
Yeah.
There can't be any delay or it won't get there.
Yeah. It's all about staying organized. Are you guys, like, generally speaking, organized people? Wendy, what do you think?
Different domains of my life. My files on my computer system, totally organized. My closet, totally not. I'm a Virgo. I don't know. People say I'm supposed to be organized, but I'm like, it totally depends on what the realm is.
Okay, so what are we on? Number 3.
Breaking down big objects into small steps with realistic time frames.
Realistic would be the key, the operative word there. Because sometimes I think I'm just not realistic. But I also believe in the concept of shooting higher so that you don't end up mediocre. You're still above what you thought you could do.
Now, Sunny, you can achieve that. But there's a lot of people where that's a setup. It's
for
a
failure.
Setup for failure, for feeling bad about yourself.
Oh, I'm not saying that doesn't still happen to me. But I still think it helps me. I mean, it's like, okay, does it hurt more than it helps kind of thing.
Right.
I think it does a little bit of both. But it still puts me, I think, in a better place than where I would have been. But
I think that's also part of the transition that you were talking about from girl to mother, that I literally had to relearn how much time it takes me to get out of the house. I'm someone who's always been like on time, and so I would know, okay, if I get up at this time, I can leave at this time.
Right.
And obviously with a new baby, I couldn't do that, and I kept miscalculating it. But I think that the whole pregnancy, the pregnancy brain part is like, hello, there's going to be some changes coming up here, and the things that used to work for you aren't going to keep working for you, so get ready to make some changes.
Okay, what's next, Jennifer?
To focus on the essentials, trying to get as much sleep as you can, trying to get as much exercise as possible, and again, healthy eating. Sleep, you know, clearly impacts memory and cognitive ability. So that's no mystery. You know, we've if you've had a few days, you've got to find a way to be able to ask for help, to be able to get your hours. You need to log hours of sleep. That's the necessity. The exercise in terms of getting the endorphins, and that's, you know, part of using our body to get all the good stuff going, and motivates us and totally impacts mood.
Right.
And memory as well. It's all connected.
Right.
And then the healthy eating, you know, you want to be balanced. You want to make sure that, you know, you are putting in your body the best nutrients you can to keep everything balanced.
That reminds me, when I was looking into how choline was helping with my pregnancy brain symptoms, eggs have a lot of choline in them, I guess. Yeah. So I made an effort also to eat more eggs at that point.
Oh.
But, you know, and blueberries with antioxidants and just paying attention to what can help.
I will notice if I've had one of those days where I can't remember anything and I'm really agitated and whatever, if I go through this little checklist of sleep, exercise, and food, most of the times I'm like 0 for 3, you know? And it's like, I didn't sleep well and I haven't exercised today. And the only thing I had was coffee this morning.
Right.
Oh, geez. And I expect my body to run efficiently. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's focus on our last tip here. What is it, Jennifer?
Stay aware of your own judgments about this mommy brain or forgetfulness. Because, you know, again, the research shows that after a woman gives birth, memory does increase, actually. You actually have enhanced capabilities in memory. But a lot of times women, because we are, you know, appraising ourselves so, you know, so specifically, we tend to think that we are doing, you know, a much lousier job than we really are.
Okay, so let's wrap this up here and let's go over our five tips again, because I know we've done a lot of chit chat about these individual topics. Okay, so the first tip was make master checklists and write everything down. So check, we can check that off our list. Okay, create organizational systems and stick to them. The third tip, break down big projects into small steps with realistic time frames. Fourth tip, focus on getting as much sleep, exercise, and healthy food as possible. And the fifth tip is stay away from our own judgments about forgetfulness. So can we accomplish this? Can we make this a priority, ladies, and and see if this works?
Yes,
we can. All right. Well, thanks, Jennifer, for joining us today and for providing this awesome list for us and for all of our listeners. For more information about our expert, Jennifer, and our panelists, you can visit our episode page on our website. This conversation continues for members of our Preggy Pals Club. After the show, we'll read some comments from our Facebook friends about their most memorable cases of pregnancy brain. To learn more about our club, visit our website at preggypals.com. Before we wrap up today's show, here's Jennifer Durbin with some pregnancy tips for the clueless chick, otherwise known as a mom with pregnancy brain.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Durbin, the author of Pregnancy Tips for the Clueless Chick and the mother of two wonderful little boys. I'd love to share with you my tips for pampering yourself during your pregnancy. While you're busy preparing for the arrival of your little one and all the craziness that will come with parenthood, don't forget to take care of yourself and your partner. Having a baby is one of the most wonderful and difficult things in the world, and every mother will tell you that a baby instantly becomes your number one priority. But for the sake of the baby and your sanity, don't forget to take care of yourself. Whether you plan to get a prenatal massage, spend a day at the spa with a girlfriend, or even take a day off of work to do a whole lot of nothing, it's important to schedule some time for yourself before things get crazy. You may want to plan a fun pre-baby girls' night out, or a date night where you're not allowed to talk about the baby. Both are fun ways to celebrate you. It's also fun to step outside of your box if you're in a funk and wear something super trendy that you might not normally wear. If you've been cleared to exercise during your pregnancy, find a local prenatal yoga or aqua aerobics class. This is not only a great way to exercise, but also the perfect way to meet other pregnant women. And finally, my favorite pamper yourself tip, make a list of all the pregnancy don'ts that you've been dying to do, like eating sushi or having a glass of wine. Then you can look forward to checking everything off of your list after the baby's born. While you're planning for some much-needed pampering, don't forget that your partner is on this wild ride with you. While you're the one with all of the aches and pains who cannot tie her own shoes, your partner has been there to listen to all of your woes and be a shoulder for you to cry on when your hormones are raging. Remember that time you spilled grape juice on your brand new top and cried for 2 hours straight? So look for a special way that you can surprise him with his favorite dinner or a night out with the boys. For more great tips, visit cluelesschick.com.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Preggy Pals. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Parent Savers, for parents with newborns, infants, and toddlers, and our show, The Boob Group, for moms who breastfeed their babies. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy, your way.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey, mamas.
Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.